The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Steelers almost got caught looking past the Cowboys. Reach me at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join me on the Shell Penzo Performance Line. Tua answers some questions on if he's ready or not. What's the expectations for the Dolphins now? Be a part of Max Kellerman Nation on the Dr. Pepper call-in line, 888-SAY-ESPN. ESPN Nation is presented by Dr. Pepper. It's official. College football's back, and so is your favorite Dr. Pepper-loving college football town, Fansville. Head to a store near you to treat your inner college football fan to an ice-cold 20-ounce Dr. Pepper today. But first, it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Here it is, the straight dope, Raj. Tom Brady gets all the credit. He gets enormous credit. I can't say all. Enormous credit when they win. And he deserves it. The defense got a lot of credit from the Bucs, too. And their receiving core and all that. It's not the Brady's getting, but who gets the most credit? Is it Bruce Arians? Is it the defense? Is it Mike Evans? No. The guy who gets the most credit is Tom Brady. And when he plays in such a way that he deserves the most blame, I don't want to hear people coming loaded with their excuses. Matter of fact, Raj, we should turn the call-in line to the Tom Brady excuse call-in line. Here it comes, 888-SAY-ESPN. We were arguing on First Take last week. How much pressure is on this one and who has... I was telling everyone, there's no pressure on Tom Brady right now. People come with their excuses for Brady. Look... He had a mental meltdown against the Bears. His offensive line was penalized, and they looked terrible. And then at the end of the game, Nick Foles made a play, and Tom Brady didn't. And Tom Brady forgot the downs and everything. But I knew one thing. After that performance, Brady was going to come back and make sure his team, because he's the leader of the team, every team he's on, make sure his team was not going to lose due to mental errors. That wasn't going to happen again. And sure enough, they played their best game from, as football players, people would say, from a mental standpoint. From a mental standpoint, he played his best game of the year. The team did. They played mistake-free football, basically, against the Packers, right? And it was no surprise. I didn't expect them to even win the game, but I expected, whatever, if they didn't make plays, it wouldn't be because of mental errors, not with Tom Brady as their leader. And he got credit from that, including from me. Now he's playing the Saints, right? And they just get past the Giants. And this is the divisional rival. And they lost week one. And they're getting Antonio Brown. But I knew, look, Saints flying under the radar. They were my preseason pick before Seattle got Jamal Adams, who's been banged up. And I mentioned last week, Saints are kind of flying under the radar here. Not a lot of pressure on Breeze all of a sudden, right? But he's getting Michael Thomas back. And he's getting Emmanuel Sanders back, and he's never really had his full complement of weapons. Even throughout this whole era when they come up just short in the Super Bowl in the last, you know, decade or so, right? Not just short in the Super Bowl, but like preseason favorites a bunch of seasons, among the preseason favorites, but never really do quite what they're supposed to do. Really, when you look at the team, they needed a number two receiver. They got it now in Emmanuel Sanders, but he hasn't been playing. Now let's see Drew Brees versus Tom Brady. It was a shellacking. And Brady won good. Forget about the interceptions. I get it. Keyshawn was on the show on First Take talking about that today. Hey, one was a tip ball. One was, you know, at the end of the game, you're down a million points. I get it. But he didn't play well. Brady was inaccurate. The defense was no good either. But Brady was inaccurate. And you know what bothered me most about that game? That Bush League field goal. You're down 35, whatever it is, and you kick a field goal so you don't get shut out. The Bucs ought to be ashamed of themselves for that. That is an anti-competitive move. Try and score. You need 8 points right now. Instead of rolling over and saying, hey, scratch my belly, I just don't want... Even worse, I just don't want to get shut out. That's awful. But anyway, Breeze deserves credit. He's not thought of as a strong-arm quarterback like Brady. Or a mobile quarterback, obviously, like Rodgers or Russell Wilson, or an impossibly brilliant young ascending quarterback still like Mahomes. But he does have a special talent. He is the most accurate passer in history. And the fact that there's so few yards through the air per attempt is he hasn't had his receivers. And he's a million years old. right? He's never did it because it's the strongest arm in the world. It was the accuracy. But you're a million years old and you don't have your receivers. Guess what? The stats are not going to look great. He's got them now. And we have to look at the Saints right now as real, like, who's the favorites out of the NFC at this moment? And they picked up Quan Alexander, good linebacker, to help with that run defense. And which, by the way, the run defense for the Saints has separated them from me from other teams with dynamic offenses in recent years. For all the teams with dynamic offenses, the Saints were pretty stout against the run considering the offense, right? And they just reinforced. They just brought in a reinforcement. Good player. I think when you look at the NFC right now, given the fact that Russell Wilson is asked to win every single week with a shootout, he can't do it every time, does it 75% of the time, given the fact that the Packers have no defense really, given the fact that the Bucs we just saw, that's up and down, look great one week, not so great the next. I think at this moment, when you look top to bottom, including continuity and everything, in the NFC, the Saints are probably number one. That was Straight Talk from Straight Talk Wireless. Everything for less, only at Walmart. Meantime, there's a lot to get into. Like, I want to get into the Cowboys and Steelers. I want to get into Russell Wilson and Josh Allen. But because we have Mark Ingram coming up, I want to talk about Lamar Jackson. Ties Dan Marino for the best start by a quarterback in history. Reigning MVP overcame a poor start to lead the Ravens past the Colts. He's now 25-5 in his first 30 starts, tying the former Dolphin great Dan Marino for best start by a quarterback since 1966. But here's the thing about Lamar. I didn't think he was going to lose to the Colts. I thought he'd beat the Colts. Well, when Lamar Jackson plays a good defense, they make him beat him through the air, and he can't play from behind. I told everyone that's not what I think the issue is. I do think there's an issue. But I don't think it's the issue that he can't beat a good team or a good defense or can't play from behind. This is not the first really good team that he's beaten. The issue is when the lights are brightest, I think not just Lamar, I think this is the whole team, but he is their leader. Can't get over the hump. They don't play their best football when they need to. How do I define that? The Chiefs. If you play in the AFC, you got to beat the Chiefs. They're 0-3. If you're the Ravens, you got to beat the Steelers against Roethlisberger 0-1. The Roethlisberger Steelers, not the fourth string quarterback Steelers. And you obviously have to win in the playoffs 0-2. To me, those are his six biggest games. Not necessarily the six best teams he's played or the 6 days he played his best team, but his six biggest games. I know Lamar Jackson can beat good teams. I know Lamar Jackson can beat good defenses, and so can the Ravens. I need to see Lamar Jackson beat the divisional rival, the conference rival, and win in the playoffs. That's what I need to see. This result does not surprise me. Because he's 25-5 in his first 30 starts? No. Let's not get it bent, okay? Take out the Steelers and the Chiefs, the two teams I just mentioned. He's 25-1. Take out the, well, you, I guess you'd have to take out the other Steelers wins too, but I wouldn't. I would say take out the real Steelers with Roethlisberger. And the Chiefs, 25-1 to start his career. 25-1, are you joking? Then how are you 0-6 when it matters most? You know Mark Ingram's going to defend Lamar Jackson in a matter of moments on this show, because Mark Ingram, he turns press conferences into performance art. Post-game pressers, Mark Ingram is there to let you know that Lamar Jackson is the ever-loving man. He is the man. So I expect Mark Ingram to defend him. See, otherwise impossible for defenses to defend Lamar, unless the game means the most. If all the chips are on the line, Raj, then they have a much better time defending Lamar. But until it matters most, he's impossible. By the way, you know what else 25-1 is? There's so many topics to get to after a football Sunday like this. Do you know how many, what Patrick Mahomes' touchdown to interception ratio is right now? Raj, do you know what it is offhand?
You mentioned it last week, and it was pretty astounding, so I don't know what he did after this week, but man,
okay,
it was...
Well, it was 21-1. Let's test Raj's math.
Okay.
It's 21-1. And then he just threw four touchdowns and no picks. What is
Hang on. Let me carry the one.
Mm-hmm. Carry the one.
So you said he was 21-1?
Mm-hmm.
So I carried the one.
Wait, Raj is using his fingers. No fingers,
yeah,
Raj.
Hang on. Okay.
No. Nope. Right. Do it without using your fingers.
No fingers. I'm going to say 25.
Ding, ding, ding. Rod, you did it.
Man. Oh, thanks, man.
It's like that Klondike commercial, right? Confetti comes down. He's 25 touchdowns and one interception. By the way, do you know the one interception was down 9 on 4th-and-7 to the Raiders? He threw the interception. Come on. This dude. Oh, we got Mark Ingram on the line right now on the Shell V Power Nitro. Wait, no, that's not. It is. It is the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line we have Mark Ingram on. Mark, are you there? What's going on? Good to have you.
Man, appreciate you having me.
Now, listen, I just said you turn post-game press conferences into performance art the way you stand up for your quarterback, Lamar Jackson. First, before
That's
I even...
my guy, man.
Yeah, let's hear it. Why? Why is he your guy?
Because, man, he's just real, man. It's authentic, bro. You know, it ain't hype. It's just real. I go hard for my peoples. I go hard for my guys. So anytime I get the chance, you know, to pump up one of my guys, you know, I'm going all in about that. So,
well, and by the way, you should. Guy's 25-5 in his 30 starts. This offense was going nowhere with Flacco, and then all of a sudden you put in Lamar Jackson. You almost never lose. And by the way, about Mark Ingram, everyone, boy, the Saints miss you. I mean, I'm just saying, the Saints were a better team with you on it. Okay, now listen. Here's where you and I are going to...
Appreciate you.
I'm just keeping it... Well, I don't like to keep it... I like to keep it 90, Mark. You give yourself some wiggle room. You know what I mean? Keep it 100. Kids, don't... Keep it 90. Give yourself some wiggle room. All right, Mark.
Man, you got to keep it 1K, man.
Sure. 1K? That's 1,000. You got to keep it 1,000 now? I wasn't even going to keep it... I wasn't just not even going to keep it 100. I'm a 90. You're on 1,000?
We got to keep it true, man. Too real.
Trill?
All the time. Keep it true.
All right. Listen. It all starts with slang with me. Yeah, Mark Ingram looks up, says, oh, who's the host? A white guy? Okay, I'm going to hit him with a slang. Don't worry about me. We go back and forth all day. Hey, Mark, this is for real.
It's all good. Whatever you want to do.
That's
what
right.
I do. You know what I'm talking about?
I do know. I do know what you're talking about. That's why I wanted you on. Now, listen. Here's where we start to argue. This is my issue with Lamar Jackson, Mark, and I want to hear how you respond. I don't think he has a problem beating good teams. I don't think he has a problem beating good defenses. I don't think he has a problem playing from behind or beating you with his arm. I think he can do all those things. I have a bigger problem. I think you guys and Lamar, I'm going to put you all into it because you're a team, but you're led by your leader, as you said, Lamar Jackson, has a problem winning the must-win games. You got to beat the Chiefs in the AFC 0-3. If you're on the Ravens, you got to beat the Steelers. Not the Steelers with their fourth-string quarterback with Roethlisberger, 0-1. And you got to win in the playoffs, 0-2. This dude is 25-1, except for those times, and 0-6 in those times. What is going on? Why can't you win the big one? Why can't Lamar Jackson win when the lights are brightest? Mark Ingram.
Hey, man, we can. We just got to go do it, man. We got the team. We got the ability. You know, we just got to go execute, man. And that's just when it comes down to it. You know, those must-have games, you got to pay big attention to the details. You know, those are great teams that you mentioned. You know, Mahomes, Steelers, Big Ben, like, those are all great teams. And when you play great teams like that in must-win situations, you got to be playing your best football. So it's a team game. It's not on one person. There's multiple times we can look back at the games, and if this unit had did better, if this guy would have made this play, it would have been a lot better off. So, as a unit, as a team, we just have to execute. We have to rise to the occasion when the lights are the brightest, when the games mean the most. Mm. And we will do that. We're growing, and we're learning to do that as a team. So it's on all of us to be able to get that done.
Look, I appreciate that answer. You didn't dodge it. You went right for it. Hey, we got to do better. That's right. And by the way, Lamar Jackson's extremely young. Like, you know, Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold's like this. Yeah, Sam Darnold's the same age, and we're all like, hey, maybe one day he could lead a team to the playoffs. Lamar Jackson's already won an MVP, so and Darnold has talent. So I'm not discounting that, and I'm not discounting what you're saying. I think you're right. Just because you haven't done something in the past does not mean you can't do it in the future. Clayton Kershaw just won the World Series. James Harden can still win a championship. But, Mark, it became an issue with those dudes. Clayton Kershaw was like, the best who ever did it regular season when the team really needed him, he used to fold for a long time. James Harden, regular season MVP. He has not been the MVP of the playoffs. At what point are we starting to look at Lamar, who I agree with you, he could wind up winning multiple Super Bowls. But so far, to me, that has actually been an issue. Like, yo, what happened to the Lamar Jackson I'm used to seeing? This is when they really need you. So I want you to address that. What have you seen so far in Lamar that has not been able to lead you over the hump in those games?
Hey, like I told you, man, it's a team effort, man. It's all of us. It's all of us, man. You can't have drop passes. You can't have turnover. You can't have big plays. You can't allow big plays. We got to create big plays. It's a whole team thing, man. It's not just on Lamar. Obviously, he's the quarterback, so he's going to get most of the tension, most of the brunt of the force. But it's a full team game, man. The whole team has to play 60 minutes football. The defense got to play well. The offense got to play well. The special teams got to capitalize and make plays and make a difference. It's really, the coaches got to have a great game plan and the players got to execute it. And when the game's on the line, when the games matter most and the lights are brightest, and it's one game elimination, you got to execute. You got to make it happen. And, sometimes the team has to grow for that, And I think we're growing, we're adding pieces, and we're getting stronger. And we're going to peak at the right time, and we'll be able to make that stuff happen when we need to. So that's what we're working on. That's what we're focused on.
Well, listen, maybe I need to take you guys aside and tell you how it's done, because I've never slipped up when the lights are brightest, Mark. I've never lost a game. No interceptions, no fumbles. That's just a fact. Raj, is that not true? Have I ever fumbled the ball in an NFL game?
You're keeping it 90.
It's N / A, not applicable.
Mark, by the way, I do know what you mean. Mark, by the way, Patriots, that's a desperate team, right? Even if they come off a win against the Jets, it's going to be a desperate team and a nationally followed team. Titans, it's been an excellent team this year. Steelers, that's a rematch of the rivalry. Even the Cowboys, who are no good, that's a high-profile game. You guys have high-profile game after high-profile game right now. What does it feel to be a part of something like this? You just experienced this on your previous team, right? You guys were, and now this new situation that you're in. What's it like to be a player who's been a part of these kind of teams that week in and week out the football world pays attention to?
Man, that's what you play for, man. That's what you play this game for, is to play against the best teams on the brightest stages in prime time and make plays in those games and give your team opportunity to do something special. So to have the opportunity to go week in and week out and improve and get better against the best competition around the league and put yourself in position to make a championship run, to make a playoff run, that's what we do it for. That's what it's all about. That's what all those blood, sweat, and tears, all those extra reps, all those hot days training, all those padded practices, all of that. That's what this is all about, man. This is when it pays off, and we're looking forward to the challenge. We know we got a very notable schedule with some great teams on it, but we're looking forward to the challenge. We feel like we have a great team. We believe in one another, and we know that if we do what we're supposed to do and play Raven football, play winning football, that we're a tough team to beat. So we're working on doing that consistently at a high level all the time.
Listen, every running back in the world thinks they're the best running back in the world. Before I let you go, who are the top five backs in the game right now?
Man, we got some great ones, man. Obviously, you got Derrick Henry up there. Dalvin Cook's cooking. Alvin Kamara, man, he's having a offensive player of the year, MVP type discussion year. Man, there's a number of guys that are running the ball at a high level right now. Chubb, he's been hurt, but he's great.
Saquon,
obviously Saquon's the man. We know he's going to bounce back huge from his ACL injury. He's going to come back better than ever. I'm a big fan of all the backs, man. Ty Gurley's having a big year this year. Down there in Atlanta. So
Mark,
hey man,
I'm a running back guy.
I'm a running back guy. I want all the running backs to tote their rocket.
There should be a running back exemption in the CBA. It's ridiculous how you guys get underpaid. But really quick, what are you doing with Peyton Matt? Speaking of a guy who didn't do it when the lights were brightest until eventually he figured it out and then won two, what are you doing with Peyton Matt? Yep.
Patient reversion. I'm with Tide. Tide Hygienic Clean. They saved the day. They saved the game day traditions of jersey swaps with Tide Hygienic Clean. They just released a commercial yesterday on Sunday. Me and my dude, Quentin Williams, with the jersey swap, had the Peyton Robach pulling up on us, making sure that transaction went by smooth, clean, and, all that with the protocols of COVID. So, I'm with Tide Hygienic Clean. Keep save the day the jersey swaps, the game day tradition, keeping that alive. Me and Quentin, Peyton Robot, we out there.
There it is.
Good commercial.
There it
Check
is.
Us out.
Listen, now, kids, if you're wondering, this is how you do it. See how Mark Ingram did it? He comes on talking about he's going to keep it 1,000 and then never steps in it. I asked him some tough questions, Raj, about his quarterback, and he said he told the truth as he saw it, but didn't step in it at all. You're like,
I ain't keep it 1K?
Yeah, you do, but what I'm saying is guys who really drank the Kool-Aid a long time ago are in a football to the core. They don't need to run it through their brain like, oh, what's he asking me? How can I answer this in a PC way? Guys like, I think, like Andrew Luck or Russell Wilson, like football nerds, right? They give you the right football answer because they believe in that. And so do you. In a way, you're a football nerd. How do you like that? Mark Ingram, ladies and gentlemen. Yep.
Hey, man. You funny.
That's right. That's he does keep it 1,000.
1,000. You got to keep 1,000. It true at all times, man.
At all
keep
times.
It going.
At all. I say keep 90, going. Kids, because you can get into trouble keeping it 100 all the time, but Mark Ingram doesn't agree.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
All right, wait. I still have to get to, well, I mean, there's so much that happened. We talked Lamar with Mark Ingram. I got into the Saints and the Bucks. We still got Steelers and Cowboys. We got Russell Wilson to talk about and Josh Allen. But, you know, Kyler Murray and Tua Tagovailoa. Imagine you're Kyler Murray. You did everything he's done so far, and you're like the old man in the matchup. you're yesterday's news. Tua Tagovailoa. Remember why I told you I liked Tua's first game a lot? I liked the idea of playing him against the Rams, and I liked that game he played. Because Fitzpatrick is just good enough to hurt you. He's just a good enough quarterback to hurt you. I heard Rex Ryan on Get Up this morning on ESPN, of course, talking about Nick Foles is a great backup, but he's not a starter. I couldn't disagree with Coach more than that. Nick Foles is a starter. He just has to be in the right situation. Fitzpatrick is a great backup. But the difference is, I think if Nick Foles is your starter in the right situation, if he stays healthy, you can win a Super Bowl, starting him from the beginning of the season. I don't think you do that with Fitzpatrick. Fitzpatrick keep you respectable. I've seen Nick Foles win a Super Bowl. Tua Tagovailoa replaces Fitzpatrick, who's playing well for a team that was 500. Let's back up. Brian Flores, last year in the beginning of the season, there were calls for his job. And people were asking. We weren't the only show. People were asking, meaning First Take, is this the worst NFL team of all time? Have they already quit on the season, like by week two or three? And Flores, this is the mark of an excellent coach, got those guys to buy in and play hard. And remember, they had to sell, they sold off a lot of parts for draft picks and stuff. Minkah Fitzpatrick in the middle of the season, early on, actually. And by the end of the season, the Patriots absolutely had to have a win to get a bye in the first round, and Miami beat them. That's when you start to go, okay, I see you, Brian Flores. And what a gutsy call. You're a 500 team, finally. It's been a while. And Fitzpatrick is playing well, but you say, and here comes Aaron Donald, and here come the Rams off their best performance of the season against the Bears, who had just beaten the Bucks. And you start your rookie quarterback coming off a catastrophic injury, his first action of his NFL career against Aaron freaking Donald. And what happens on the first play? Donald, boom, right through the line, and you wind up getting body slammed on your first play. But you get up. Fewer than 100 yards passing, but you get up. And you don't turn the ball over, and you throw a touchdown pass, and your team wins. After that, who's going to throw something at you that you're like, no, I haven't seen this before. Like, I'm worried about this. They threw Aaron Donald at you first game off an injury that could have ended your career, right? Injury, surgery, missed season, like the whole thing. This time, and you come back, and they send Aaron Donald at you, and on play one, you're on your back, body slammed. And you get up and win? That showed me what I needed to see. But we hadn't really seen Tua yet. Like, beware of a quarterback who's drafted too high, like Mark Sanchez, who works for ESPN, he does a great job and all that. But Mark Sanchez, they drafted him as high as they did the Jets because he has this thing about him. Baker Mayfield, yeah, he has something about him we like, and he wins a lot. He was accurate in college. Of course, the guys were wide open. Beware of a guy like that. But a guy like Drew Brees, where you're like, no, objectively, this dude can thread the needle every time. It's unbelievable how accurate he is. Tua's like one of those guys. Yes, Tua has that thing where he puts his arm around his coach, and his coach happens to be Nick Saban. After he screws up in his first action, puts his arm around Nick Saban, like, don't worry about this, coach, I got this. Yes, he has that thing about him, right? But that, if that was all he had, you're squinting and hoping you see something that's not there. He's like a left-handed Drew Brees. He's super accurate. He's super accurate. Not just because the stats say so, because guys have schemed receivers open, but because he can consistently thread a needle. Has real arm talent. So when you see what you saw against the Rams, that answers other questions about Tua. You're coming off hip surgery, missed time, a reputation for not being durable. Your team has momentum. They're surging. They feel good about themselves for the first time, and they take out an extremely experienced quarterback who's probably playing the best football of his career consistently in Fitzpatrick and stick you in against Aaron Donald of the Rams and play one. Bam! And you get back up, dust yourself off, and win the game. But the stats weren't good, and this and that. We saw what we needed to see. How were the stats yesterday? 20 of 28, 248 yards passing, 2 touchdowns, 93% completion percentage versus 4 or fewer rushers. That's the second best by a rookie with over 10 attempts in the last 15 seasons. Of course, Cam Newton was 12 of 12 in 2011. He's not known as an accurate passer. But Tua is. He's extremely accurate. That's 2-0 for Tua as a starter. He's on a good team. Miami's a good team. Kyler Murray, meantime, 21 of 26, 283 yards. 3 passing touchdowns, a rushing touchdown. Rushed for 106 yards. That's your quarterback. including the 283 yards through the air and the 3 passing touchdowns. We got some good young quarterbacks. As a Giants fan, all I can tell you is Danny Dimes is fast, but where are the dimes, brother? You know, like when you see the talent in the league, you're like, hold up, timeout. I think I see what Gettleman means when he looks at Daniel Jones and goes, he's a quarterback. I saw a professional quarterback. What is it, Raj? How's that go?
Rock.
Let's see if we have it. Do we have the sound? I need to hear it. Why did you reach for Daniel Jones at 6? Dave Gettleman? Why? Because he's a what? No quarterback. No, he doesn't have anything to say now. But the point is, when you see guys like Tua and Kyler Murray, Daniel Jones reminds me more of Trubisky or someone like that. Yeah, I know you're fast, but, you know, can you put it all together? I know I bring everything back to the Giants, New York, but I can't help it. That's where my heart is. When I see guys like Tua versus Kyler Murray, I'm thinking, I thought we had a guy that was supposed to fit in like that. And he's tall, too. Like, he has a lot of stuff. He looks like he has some arm talent, and he's fast. But unlike these guys, he's also tall. It should be an advantage. I don't see any three touchdowns and no interceptions and 280 yards plus through the air and 100 yards on the ground games. And wins. By the way, Arizona, look at these wins that the Dolphins are racking up. And now, with Tua, you just beat the Rams and the Cardinals. Those are two teams from the best division in the NFL by far, both over 500. And the Dolphins, anyway, were playing well when Fitzpatrick beat the Niners, who were plus 500 team at the time, forget about the Jets. I mean, they're in a 4-game win streak, one's against the Jets, whatever, right? It's a bye. But football's better when the Dolphins are good. It's been so long. Miami is one of those national teams. They're one of those national teams like the Raiders. Like, the Patriots have been so great in recent years, they're a national team. The Cowboys and Steelers back from the 70s are still national teams, especially the Cowboys. But Miami and the Raiders, those are two teams that kind of football wants to be national teams, but they got to give you something. When was the last time this country really cared about the Miami Dolphins? Because I care again. That's all. Football just got better. Patrick Mahomes was making moves yesterday, throwing for 4 touchdowns. He now has 101 career passing TDs. I haven't even gotten to Mahomes yet. There's so much. To the best player, to the Michael Jordan of football. I haven't even gotten to him yet. He has the most passing TDs in NFL history through a quarterback's first 40 games. Now listen to me, Raj. Next hour, I'm talking Mahomes. First segment, I'm getting Mahomes in.
Let's see. I'm writing
it down. I can't fit Mahomes in edgewise or Russell Wilson or Josh Allen. There's too much going on.
Action packed.
Sign up for ESPN Plus for live daily coverage of the Masters. Plus, Michael Collins, who's the best, continues his journey across the country in his sled. That dude is Santa. Michael Collins looks just like Santa Claus. Michael Collins, Santa's a golf fan. In a new episode of his original series, America's Caddy. By the way, you want to talk to someone about golf and make golf sound interesting? Michael Collins is in it. He's the Patrick Mahomes of talking about golf. Covering the Masters and interviewing golf's biggest stars only on ESPN Plus. Is it a wrap for the Bears? No doubt. Next.
Max, the podcast.
All right, let's get that money, Raj. Go ahead, go.
After another loss where the offense just looked horrible,
yeah,
the Bears are done.
No doubt. They have real problems on the offensive line. As I said, Nick Foles is not just a backup. Nick Foles was a stud at Arizona. Nick Foles was 8-2 with 27 touchdown, a 2 interception ratio for the Eagles as a starter. He was bad with Jeff Fisher. He was bad with the Jaguars. They were terrible situations for any quarterback. But Nick Foles doesn't have the kind of talent that's going to overcome stuff around him not being up to snuff. He needs a team that's ready to win. But if you have that team, he's shown he can win a Super Bowl. He can go on another Super Bowl run in defense, as he did with the Eagles the very next season when he came in for Wentz. So, but the offensive line is just, it's a revolving door. It's ridiculous. So the answer is, yeah, they're cooked.
All right, hey, the Seahawks defense will keep them out of the Super Bowl.
Nah, son. You know, God, where's the nah, son? There it is. No, I can't say it will. I want to see Jamal Adams and Bobby Wagner play several games together healthy and get into the flow and then see what the defense looks like. I'm not suggesting that getting a safety back makes your pass coverage all the difference, but with the Seahawks, we're talking about we just need marginal changes, right? If we could just get a little more toward not being the worst in the league, basically, at stopping guys from scoring. Russell Wilson can do a lot of the rest, particularly with the weapons he has. And let's not forget, part of the problem yesterday was, remember when they made that Jimmy Graham trade? They traded, who was it? The good offensive lineman, the center, as part of that deal. The Seahawks had a bad offensive line for years. They wouldn't really invest in it. They thought they could just coach it up, right? They started investing a little bit more in it, and it's paid dividends. But yesterday, the offensive line was really bad again. It was bad. They were all over Russell Wilson. And so, they just had a really bad day. I think if Wagner and Adams are both on the field and you could just hold it together, this team could win the Super Bowl.
All right, real quick, and your Giants blew it by winning.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. Trevor Lawrence, sever for Trevor, whatever, Justin Fields. If he's sitting there at 3, you want some Justin Fields? Justin Fields, what doesn't he have? He has size, he can run, he has arm talent, he has leadership abilities. He can go through progressions. Like, I think Justin Fields is a dude you would want. I mean, Daniel Jones is okay maybe one day, but is Brady to blame for the Bucs' loss on Sunday Night Football?
Thanks for listening to the Max Kellerman Show. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, or wherever you stream your audio.